Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watt with Jack Watts on Recovery, speaking to you from downtown Atlanta, Georgia, as I overlook the majestic skyline of Buckhead. It is a magnificent day and a day that I want to start talking to you about your recovery and about some of the things that we can do for you. My call-in number is 347-326-9949. If you want to call and talk about something that's happening to you, I'm available and I am here. I have one scheduled person to call in so far. We have not heard from her, but that doesn't make any difference because this is a subject about which I can talk and talk and talk and talk. There are things that you can do to help yourself in your recovery, regardless of what it is that you need to recover from. Specifically, on this program, our emphasis is recovering from religious abuse, which is when someone from the church or someone who has spiritual authority over you in some way uses you, abuses you, and then discards you. I remember when asked about what a communist was in the 1950s, Joseph McCarthy couldn't answer, and he said, I don't know exactly, but I know one when I see one, which really got him in a lot of trouble, obviously, because it isn't something that you can spot that easily. But when it comes to religious abuse, I think that the answer to the question is if you feel like you've been abused, you probably have. Now, if you've been called out on something that you've done that's wrong, that's morally or ethically wrong on your part and you don't like it, that's one thing. That's proper use of authority for holding up Christian principles. But if you're walking with the Lord and people do something different and it offends you and you walk away and you say, I didn't do anything wrong and this shouldn't have happened to me, you're within quite a crowd of people. There are as many as 40 million people in the United States who have had religious abuse. Now, to recover, we use what we call the 11 steps to spiritual freedom. They are: 1, I acknowledge that my life is shipwrecked and not where I want it to be. 2, I commit to stop living my life in pursuit of self-defeating behavior. 3, I accept that the responsibility for getting back on track is mine and no one else's. 4, I choose to believe what God says about himself, that he is good and can be trusted. I recognize that God is not the abuser, rather people who misuse their authority are the abusers. 5, I recognize that the way back to a productive life is exactly the way I came. Therefore, I commit to repairing my relationship with God and making amends with everyone I have wronged along the way. 6. I refuse to become like those who have abused me and abandon my desire to spread malice because of my pain and my anger. 7. I will make a detailed written account of my abusive experiences as well as my subsequent behavior. I commit to being as thorough and honest as I'm able. 8. I will share my experience and my own wrongdoing with a trusted friend, confessing the exact state of my heart. 9. I humbly ask God to change anything He wishes, and I ask Him to heal my pain. Because God forgives us as we forgive others, I forgive my abusers. 10. I choose to believe God still has a purpose for my life, a purpose for good and not evil. 11. I make a commitment to nurture my relationship with the Lord, asking Him to reveal His will to me and to provide me with the power to carry it out. Those are the 11 steps that we use. Now, in order to recover, we have to work each one of these steps, beginning with the very first one, step number one. I acknowledge that my life is shipwrecked and not where I want it to be. This means that in your life that actually God's pruning can produce and make you a better person. I know that for me, when I first invited Christ into my life, I had visions about the plans God had for me. Most new converts do. Because I was young, my visions were grandiose and very self-centered. But I didn't know that. All I knew was what I knew, and I was a kid and I didn't have much going for me, but that's all I did. So I convinced myself that my grandiose thoughts were from the Lord. After being a Christian for many years, I remember praying one day, "Father, thank you. You have spared me from so much. Nothing difficult has ever happened to me, and I owe it all to you." I actually prayed that. Nothing difficult has ever happened to me, and I owe it all to you. In my grandiose vision about myself, I thought that I was being spared from all of the difficulties that I saw other people having, and that everything would just work out for me because I was Jack Watt and life was easy. Why shouldn't it work out? That's how I felt. So, I experienced many things after that because of my immaturity. At one point, things stopped going right and started going wrong. And it was like an avalanche, and I couldn't control it. I experienced heartbreak at a level I thought would destroy me. But it didn't. Ultimately, it made me stronger in spite of myself. At the time, like most people, I thought my difficulties were some kind of punishment. But I was wrong. Though pain is not purposed by God, He definitely used it to prune me and to make me more fruitful. Most people don't get that. They don't get that at all. When humans are pruned, it hurts. It hurts a lot. Sometimes it can be absolutely devastating. At the same time, it can be exactly what you need. And if you're a gardener, you prune things for one reason, so that they, if they're flowers, so that they become fuller. If it's a vineyard, you know that you cut things back at the end of the year so that the following year you will have more grapes. You don't. That's the purpose of the pruning when it comes to grapes. And of course, if they, you know, scripturally, it's, you know, I'm the vine, my Father, you know, I mean, that's the whole deal about that. For me, bottom line was this. I was not where I thought I was in my walk with the Lord. Not even close. I thought I was one person, but I wasn't. I was not nearly the man that I thought I was. And in actually, I was just I was in my mid-30s, but I was still emotionally a teenager. In many areas of my life, I had arrested development because I had not matured properly, and that is what God wanted from me. He wanted me to be a man and not just look like one and dressed up in a grown man's clothes but be a little boy on the inside. And for years, that's exactly what I was. I was a little boy on the inside, and I just didn't know what to do. God wanted me to be an adult, and it required a great deal of pruning to make that a reality. Now, if you're listening to this, the same is probably true of you. Your experience can't be much different than mine, because this is kind of what happens to everybody in America. We think that we're someplace and we're absolutely positively not. Okay. If you're being pruned, if you know that you're being pruned, and if you are being pruned, you know it. Instead of fighting against it, let God have his way. It will make you a better person. A much better person. You'll like how you turn out in the end. You know why? You will finally be the person that you're intended to be all along. Here's the thing. We live in a nation where there are all kinds of people preaching that, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is that God wants you to be a financial success. He wants you to have a new car. He wants you to have a Rolex. He wants you to have a great house. He wants you to have this, that, and the other. And you're fed this all the time. Throw $200 in the plate, and God will give you $200. Throw $200 in the plate, and he'll give you $2,000. Throw $2,000, and who knows, it could be multiplied and you be a millionaire, because that's what God wants for you. They equate materialism with the fruit of the Spirit, and it absolutely is not true. That is false teaching. It is not biblical. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, godliness, and self-control. If these are the things that are coming out of your life, then you're free from any kind of law, and you are walking with the Lord, and you are being blessed in everything that you do. Does that ultimately have some financial rewards? I suppose it does. It does for most people, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. And maintaining the dignity of your calling in difficulty is the benchmark of a believer. Now, when these things are going against you and everything that you thought was going to happen in your life isn't, and you've essentially walked away, that's when you're ready. And when you finally can say to yourself, I acknowledge that my life is shipwrecked and not where I want it to be, then and only then are you ready to begin your recovery. When we're talking about pruning and we're talking about the vine, it reminds me of the first couple of verses in John 15, where it says, I am the true vine. This is Christ speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. And what's the fruit again? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, godliness, and self-control. All right. If this is stuff that is making sense to you, and this is where your life is, then pursuing the 11 steps to spiritual maturity by beginning by saying, I am not where I want to be. This is not what I want to do. This is not where I am supposed to be in life. Then you are ready to begin. And probably the best way to begin might be to just get a pad of paper or your computer and start journaling. You might write, it's okay to be exactly where you are. That's where you have to start. I am not where I'm supposed to be. Stop pretending you're someone that you're not. It doesn't work. Christians do it all the time. It's probably their worst character flaw, and it's the one that's most universally recognized by non-believing people. It's why they say we're hypocrites. They're right. We pretend to be people that we are not. We are not on the inside who we say we are. Our life does not match up with what we talk about and who we pretend to be. And we seem like pious frauds, which more often than not is true. So, where you are is where you are. Admit it. Admit it to yourself immediately. Say, you know what? I'm tired of trying to be someone I am not. Remember, denial is never an appropriate response in recovery, if you're recovering from anything, from religious abuse, from alcoholism. I'd say that the people that are in Al-Anon have more trouble with this than any single other thing. They pretend that they have this wonderful family and someone is absolutely destroying it with alcoholism. And they do everything to keep the lid on so that people do not know what's really going on. And the destruction internally in the home is so bad that it destroys nearly every home that it touches. That's denial. Stop it. It doesn't work. It's never God's way, and it is never the way to achieve recovery. Stop making excuses about who you are in life. Stop pretending that you're someone that you're not, and stop making excuses. Just come to the end of it and say, you know what? I am who I am. This is where I am. If God loves me the way I am right now, then I'm going to love myself exactly where I am and begin and say, you know what? The past is the past, but I am going to walk the walk to make my life better so that the pruning process can begin. And you can have a more fruitful life. God prunes you. God allows things to happen to you to make you a man, to make you a woman, not to have millions of Americans walking around in adult clothes who are 12 years old on the inside, or 7 in some areas of their life, or 18. He wants everyone to make to have full stature and maturity of a believer in Christ. That is God's will for your life. Always, that's God's will for your life. He never wants you to be a perpetual child. The way to begin is to admit where you are, and then why don't you sit down and tell God, write it out. This is who I am. This is where I am. And be as specific as you can. Describe your situation. Be honest. Be scrupulously honest. You know what? It'll hurt. It'll hurt to tell the truth about yourself, to write it down on a piece of paper. It isn't a pleasant thing. It never is a pleasant thing. It is a necessary thing for you to become who you're supposed to be. Pinpointing where you are and admitting that your life is out of balance, off course. Perhaps you are involved in some gross things. You may be drinking too much. You may be overeating, using food to comfort yourself, and you know, you've gained a quick 40 or 60 pounds. You may have run up credit card debt and are just overwhelmed with what that's doing to you. You may be just looking at pornography all the time because it's your escape, it's what makes you feel good about yourself for a short time, and now you're hooked, and you have to see it compulsively. Be honest, be completely honest. Remember, you can't be where you aren't. Even if you want to be, you can't be where you aren't. You can never get out of the hole until you stop digging. And when you're digging in self-defeating behavior, you've got to stop it. It doesn't work. Now, after you've written where you are, in a prayer, why don't you invite God to join you where you are, even if it's in the darkest, foulest, emotional hell on earth? He will come and join you. God, Almighty God, is there for you, and people that he likes the most are those who will admit who they are. People that are pious and pretentious and pretend that they're people that they aren't. Those are the ones. The religiously self-righteous, those are the ones that Christ had the most trouble with. If you read the New Testament, he had big-time trouble with those people because they weren't honest. When you have written out where you are, when you have invited Christ to join you in the pit that you are in, thank him for exactly where you are and tell him that you want and intend for him to make you into the person he wants you to be. He has a plan for you. It's for your betterment. It's to make you fruitful. And what are the fruits of the Spirit of God? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, godliness, and self-control. That's what he wants for you. Self-control, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, kindness, patience, peace. He wants you to be a peaceful person, a joyful person, and to have love, genuine love, come from you so that that is what you attract as well. When you are walking away from God, you attract people and situations that make your life a living hell. You know it. You experience it. You're in the middle of it often. You're probably in the middle of it right now, and you know it. And you don't want it. Start your recovery process. Remember, according to Psalm, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him or her out of them all. Those who plant in tears will harvest with a shout of joy. They weep as they go to plant the seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Okay? In your weeping and in your difficulty, this is the time for you to just put one foot in front of the other, one day after another, and just begin the process. Now, if you need some help, you can go to my blog, Pushing Jesus. Just Google Pushing Jesus, and there is a wealth of recovery material. I've written a book on it, Recovering from Religious Abuse, 11 Steps to Spiritual Freedom. It's available. We have books on codependency. We have books on substance abuse. We have books on sexual abuse, sexual dysfunction. I've written my story. Simon & Schuster published it. It's available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. It's called Hi, My Name is Jack, and in it, I've told you all day long about being scrupulously honest. Well, that's what I did with my story, and it's an interesting one for sure. Pushing Jesus, or my blog is www.jackwatts.me, www.jackwatts.me. Thank you so much. I look forward to talking to you again next week. God bless you and keep you.